This morning, we're going to consider the first of the Beatitudes from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. These Beatitudes from Matthew are statements that give us the characteristics of those who are blessed by God. Jesus might have entitled this part of his sermon, "The Life That God Blesses." Blessed is sometimes translated happy, this word that is blessed here. But it probably has less to do with how we feel and more to do with receiving the blessing, the favor of God. So I'd like to read from Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to read all of the Beatitudes, but we're really going to focus on the first one. And so from Matthew 5, starting in verse 1. "Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and he sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.'" These are really upside down values. As Christians, we become rather familiar with these verses, and we may look at them and not think them too strange, because we're kind of used to them. We're used to what these verses say. But they're really upside down from the world's values. We may consider these characteristics admirable when we look at these, being meek, poor in spirit, hungering and thirsting for righteousness. But they're not really what we lift up and call blessed in the world. We do not say, "Wow, he really has it made. Look how meek he is." It doesn't happen in the world a lot. We don't say, "Boy, I wish I could be merciful like that lady. Then I'd really have it made." No, we lift up those who have money, power, position, great talent, good looks, freedom to do what they want to do. We tend to look at the rich, the famous, the successful, the highly skilled, and we think, "If only, then I would be really happy." They live such a blessed life. We don't desire to be somebody like Billy Jack. Max Lucado relates this story about Billy Jack. "Good. I'm glad you're sitting by me. Sometimes I throw up." Not quite what you want to hear from the passenger in the next seat. Before Max had even put his carry-on luggage in the overhead compartment, he knew the boy's name, age, and destination. "I'm Billy Jack, I'm 14, and I'm going home to see my daddy." Max started to introduce himself, but the boy wouldn't shut up. "I need someone to look after me. I get confused a lot." He launched into an endless story about the special school that he attended, followed by a detailed list of the medications that he took. "Can you remind me to take my pills in a few minutes?" Then he stopped. An airline attendant. "Don't forget about me. I get confused." Once in the air, Billy Jack ordered soda and dunked his pretzels in it. He asked if he could drink whatever soda Max didn't finish. He listened to music, to The Lion King and The Little Mermaid. He made trumpet sounds. He made ocean sounds, actually him swishing his spit back and forth. He never let a flight attendant pass without saying, "Don't forget to look after me." When they brought the food, "Don't forget to look after me." When they brought more drinks, "Don't forget to look after me." Lucado writes that he honestly cannot think of a single time a flight attendant passed and Billy Jack didn't say, "Don't forget to look after me." No one else in the flight did that. They didn't need special help. They were grown-ups, sophisticated, self-reliant. They didn't even listen to the emergency landing instructions. Billy Jack asked Max to explain them in great detail. Licato concludes, Billy Jack can get confused. But he understands one thing, what it means to place himself totally in the care of someone else. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What's poor in spirit? It's dependence on God. The poor may refer to those who, because of sustained economic privation and social distress, have confidence only in God. To be poor in spirit is not to lack courage, but to acknowledge spiritual bankruptcy, our total need for God, our utter dependence upon Him. Poor in spirit is the opposite of self-confident, the opposite of competent, being able to do everything well, the opposite of being self-reliant, being able to take care of myself alone without the need for others. In dealing with adults of developmental disability, the tendency, when I worked in that in Pennsylvania, the tendency was to think that we should help them become as independent as possible. We learned that we needed to help them develop, what we needed to learn to help them develop was interdependence, not independence. Living in community in such a way that they give what they have to contribute, and that what they are able to others, and they receive what they need from others. Interdependence. Not being self-reliant actually drives them toward community. As they're interdependent, they come together in community. That's what we really wanted to work for. Luke 20, in Luke also talks about this message from Jesus. Luke actually says, blessed are you who are poor. Doesn't say you who are poor in spirit, but you who are poor. When we're poor, we're limited. We don't have the power to get what we want or need by our own power. This can push us into reliance on God. Now, those who are poor will like Luke, because blessed are the poor. Those who aren't poor will like Matthew's version. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. But liking one of the other or the other is missing the point. If you side for one of the other, you're basically saying, I'm okay just the way I am. I have no need for a change in my life. And we have this kind of attitude of self-praise, self-justification, self-satisfaction as we identify with one or the other. But the whole point that Jesus is bringing out here has to do with those who need me, those who need God and depend on Him. Proverbs 16:19 says, better to be lowly in spirit and among the oppressed than to share plunder with the proud. What does poor in spirit look like? When you rely on God with trusting power, that's what poor in spirit looks like. We can know that we're trusting God by what we pray for. What do you pray for? That's where you're trusting God. So poor in spirit means we're praying. We're praying to God and we're trusting Him. God looks for childlike faith. In Matthew 18, 1-4, it says this. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a little child and he had him stand among them. And he said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And so God looks for a kind of trust from us, not a childish, but a childlike trust. What are you asking God for? What in your life are you trusting God for? It also looks like you admitting your mess. A good picture of poor in spirit comes from Luke chapter 18, as Jesus tells the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers or evildoers or adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all that I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up at heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. In this parable, the parable of the Pharisee and the publican, each one of them gets what they expressed a need for. The Pharisee expressed an inner need for nothing. That's what he got. The publican expressed a need for mercy, and that's what he got. Each received what he felt he needed. My need is different than your need. And yet, essentially, it's the same. I fall short of God's standard. Whatever I do have is a gift from God. Whatever I yet need must come from God. Our tendency is to feel that we've been rejected when we've blown it. We want to put on the best face possible. But like the publican, when we honestly bring our mess to God, that's when we can receive God's mercy. That's the place God wants us to be, not to see us grovel, but so that he can finally help us as he's been wanting to do. Barbara Borntrager writes, I know what it is to be at the altar on Sunday morning, often, to silently affirm on the way to church one morning, this day I'm well and fine. Life and God are good. This morning I will not go to the altar. Regardless of the message, today I'm well. And then when the invitation is given, to know again that God has spoken, feeling the tears, and in obedience there I am again, knowing the love and support of God through godly friends, acknowledging my own weakness. Being poor in spirit means that you don't compare yourself to others, either positively or negatively. The Pharisee compares himself positively with others. There's an element of truth to what the Pharisee says. He was not a robber, but he was comparing himself with a man, not with God and what God calls him to. We also don't compare ourselves negatively with others. Yes, someone may have talent, money, appear more spiritual, have it together more than I. But as Rick Warren says in the first line of his purpose-driven life, it's not about you. So we're not to compare ourselves negatively or positively. We depend on God. Finally, he says, those of you who are poor in spirit, yours is the kingdom of heaven. What's the kingdom of heaven? It's where God rules, both present and future. This is not something the poor in spirit possess simply in the future. It's now, when we're poor in spirit. God created our world and God holds the power. But in giving us the power to choose and love, we've rebelled against God. We enter the kingdom of heaven when we admit to our rebellion and sin, our separation from God, our inability to do anything about it and receive God's mercy and grace. The promise is that God will begin to rule in our hearts now, and we will live in His kingdom forever. That's God's promise to the poor in spirit. The kingdom of heaven is to be found, is being found by and knowing God. Barbara Borntraeger also writes, "I know what it is to not have life turn out as you would have chosen, but to know deep down beneath the pain that you found God in ways that you never knew possible when life was smooth." Eugene Peterson says, as he writes the scriptures in the Message, he says, "You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there's more of God and His rule." It's upside down, that idea, the poor in spirit will inherit the kingdom of God. You remember Billy Jack and the story I told you from Max Lucado. Max Lucado goes on to write, "Billy Jack spent the final hour of the flight with his head on my shoulder, his hands folded between his knees. Just when I thought he was asleep, his head popped up, and he said, 'My dad is going to meet me at the airport. I can't wait to see him because he watches out for me.'" That's poor in spirit, depending on God, depending on Him who watches out for you. I'd like to ask the worship team to come forward. We're going to close in a song here. May I stand, please? Let's pray. Lord, You know that we stand here before You absolutely poor in spirit, absolutely in need of Your healing, of Your restoration, of Your guidance. We're absolutely dependent upon You, Lord. You know that we're upset. We're upset with one another. And only You can enable us to work through this. And so we ask that You would do that this morning, in the coming days and in the coming weeks. And so we admit our mess, Lord, and we offer it to You. In Jesus' name, amen.